Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Kings 19:11 through 13. And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. I'm stumbling across the stage here with my boot. As mentioned, today is the last Sunday before Lent, and it is fitting today that we have this expression of bearing the hallelujahs, which we'll do at our close of our service today in these baskets over here, and kind of a way to respond and to kind of open our hearts to a time of being, you know, a quieter time. And today we're looking at this discipline of silence in our series of disciplines of restraint. And we're putting away our hallelujahs for a time to be quieter, to pause, and to listen. I realize there's an irony for me as the kind of the primary person who makes the most noise around here up on the platform and is always encouraging you guys to sing and make noise, to talk about silence. But silence has played a really important role in my life, and there's been neat fruit, neat stories from it, and I want that for you too. You know, silence is challenging and not practiced very regularly because it cuts right to the heart of our addiction to always being in control and wanting to fix things ourselves. You know, how many times have you wanted to quickly correct that person's opinion of you, you know, or write that nasty retaliation email, like right away, like fix it, you know, or respond to that internet comment, you know, kind of a thing, instead of pausing and being silent and just turning to God for wisdom, direction, or understanding. It's tough. And even in those prayers, when we do find our moment with God, we often fill them with this just laundry list of requests and passionate pleas, you know, trying to turn the gears of heaven, you know, with our own strength or energy. And making requests to God isn't a bad thing, but how precious it is, how special when we're able to just be with God. Just in silence, to rest with him. So just like physical training, we build muscle where weakness exists. And I got to tell you, I know a little bit about this right now, personal experience. This boot I'm wearing is, I mentioned last week, I did have an Achilles tendon tear. So playing soccer, I thought I could play soccer again after 35 years of never playing it. And the tendon has torn, and it's totally torn. And so anyway, it's going to be a long road, months of recovery and silence, of being quiet. So it's interesting that God is bringing this up for me now and for us together as a community. What is it like to trust God when things feel out of our control? But just like in physical training, we build muscle where weakness exists. We choose silence because it helps us build the muscle of surrendering to God in trust, and it enables us to hear and sense the direction of God and his presence in our lives. So this morning, we're going to look at the Bible and about Elijah's life, how we see in the Bible God using silence to bring about a monumental experience for Elijah. And we're going to look also how God uses silence in other places of Scripture as well, inviting us to this posture of listening and being quiet. A little background on Elijah. He is one of God's prophets and, you know, a servant of God. And he's been through just a really difficult time. Just lots of loss, wars, death, disappointment, things not working out how he'd hoped. He's discouraged, utterly discouraged. And he's just wanting God to give him direction and advice for what to do next. I don't know if you, I mean, I'm sure you can relate in some way to that feeling. Maybe not as dramatic as those circumstances, but we've all been there, right? We've all been in this desperate place where we're wanting help. We need help, something bigger than ourselves. Maybe feel at the end of our rope or between a rock and a hard place. And that literally actually is where we find Elijah, between a rock and a hard place. He's on this mountain cliff. He's in this like little cove of this mountain. And God tells him to go to this spot because God's going to talk to him. And so that's where we pick up this story. And so where we read 1 Kings 19:11, let me just rephrase it for us again. Review here a second. So God says to Elijah, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And so behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Now let me pause for a second and say it's interesting that these natural disasters, they are actually found in other parts of the Bible where God actually is present in those places. In fact, in the book of Job, God shows up in a giant wind, and he speaks to Job through this wind. And then, of course, at the Mount Sinai moment of the Ten Commandments coming down, there's a massive earthquake, and God is present in this earthquake. And then, of course, Moses meets God in a burning bush that's on fire. God uses fire to get Moses' attention. But it's so interesting that God chooses another way to get Elijah's attention. Continuing on, verse 12, but God, the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What a picture. I mean, can you just imagine the scene with me for a moment, just kind of like as a movie reel, movie producer guy. Let's just pretend this is happening, and you're seeing like this mountain, and imagine these incredible natural wonders happening, this like wind that breaks rocks off of a mountain, like this massive wind and this earthquake. Like, I picture a kind of like a Dwayne Johnson movie, Dwayne the Rock. He's like holding on to the thing, you know, and then stuff swirling around him, and there's this fire, massive fire, And Elijah, he's not a superhero, bodybuilder, movie star guy. He's just a regular guy, and he's terrified. And he's just huddled in this cave, and this stuff is going on all around him. And then all of a sudden, there's this silence, a pause. And then he kind of creeps out timidly from this cave. It says he wraps his face in his cloak, and he comes out there, and he steps out into this eerie silence. And it says, and it's in that place that God begins to speak to him and answer his prayers. And later on in the chapter, we find out that God gives him direction and provision and encouragement, that this is a pivotal time in Elijah's life that God uses to move him forward and give him strength and a new faith. How about for us, though? I mean, you might be asking, why is silence important for me? How will silence help me to connect with God like Elijah did? Well, I believe that just like Elijah's case, silence has the ability to invite us out of our caves, out of our hiding spots of busyness and natural commotion of our lives, to hear from him and to connect with God in relationship. Why does God choose to use here's this really interesting, this low whisper. In the Bible, Hebrew commentators, linguists, have a really hard time translating this phrase. Low whisper is the way that our ESV Bible says, but there's other versions like the sound of soft stillness or the sound of sheer silence. That's such an interesting phrase. And so the sound of sheer silence, this is what God uses. And why? Not the huge, terrifying displays, not these natural wonders. The reason is relationship. God desires to draw us out in safety, in intimacy, not through fearful compulsion but through quiet, patient love. And yet, we still avoid silence, don't we? like the plague. On our own, we fill our homes with music devices, podcasts, phones with email, texts, and news notifications. Alexa, make me some noise, right? We're something, it's too quiet in here. We listen to the radio in our cars. Wearing earbuds is now a fashion accessory. This is just part of our clothing now. I just wear these earbuds. We're so uncomfortable with silence, especially in groups. We dread it, and you always have to be talking. You always have to be responding to someone else to avoid that awkward, dreaded silence. Here at church, we mostly fill our time with music, you know, and prayers and talking and talking and talking. Even when we dig deep and intentionally create moments or direct moments of silence in church or in public, there's this growing uncomfortability with each passing second, right? It's just kind of, but we can grow in this. We really can. Through practicing on our own, maybe in bite-sized chunks at first, but this can become a really fruitful practice in your life. And as Christians, knowing God is always with us, that His loving presence surrounds us at all times, our invitation is to use silence to listen to Him. Silence and listening, right? They kind of go hand in hand. They're sort of one and the same. Silence gives birth to listening, if you will. In fact, if you rearrange the letters of the word silent, okay, imagine this like cool graphic image here, silent, right? It's morphing and the letters are turning. You can spell the word listen. Silent and listen. They turn into each other. They're woven together, one in the same, embedded with each other. And God longs to be in relationship with us. He desires that kind of intimate closeness between friends, where communication is subtle, right? Like a wink or a nod or a look or a whisper, and you know exactly what's being said. There are lots of scripture references that encourage us toward listening in silence. So just to look at a few. In John 10, Jesus phrases it like this in such an invitational, inviting way in John 10, verse 2. He says, "But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him." Why? "For they know his voice." It's such an incredible invitation for us that we could know God's voice, and that this would give us confidence and clarity in following him. Silence and listening, they go hand in hand. But it should be said, it's also the opposite of speaking. We got to just say it. It's the opposite of speaking. And there are a few proverbs that talk about the benefits of not speaking. So I just wanted to mention them really quick because they're kind of fun. Proverbs 10:19, "Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut." I mean, that's pretty good. That's like mama's advice. Keep your mouth shut, you know, kind of a thing. Proverbs 17:28, "Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent." So it's kind of a little special advice. That's a free tip, you know. If you want to be intelligent, if you want to seem wise in a group, you can not talk and it will work. But also there's something about the holiness of God that inspires this silence, that strikes us dumb, leaves us speechless. Habakkuk 2:20, such a powerful verse. It has an aura around it. It says this, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him." But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And a favorite of many, you might know this, Psalm 46:10-11. "Be still and know that I am God." Yeah, be still and know that I am God. And it goes on to say, God says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And that's why we can be still. That's why we can be silent, because God is with us. He will be exalted. His kingdom will come. His will be done. And that's the message of the gospel, is that God's power, his love, his initiative to rescue us is unstoppable. This Jesus who was oppressed, afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, as Isaiah 53 says, that Jesus went to the cross for our sake, and as Isaiah describes, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. That Jesus modeled this trust in his Father's plan and this act of surrender in obedient silence. And that then rising again with victory over sin and death, he brings us into relationship with a holy God. I want to encourage you guys towards silence because it will help you practice trust and surrender. Silence is like the greenhouse or like the sunlit windowsill where faith grows. Have you ever had a child, or maybe you might even remember, coming home from school with that little styrofoam cup, right, with the dirt in it, and you've got this little seed in it pushed down in? Sometimes there's a little toothpick, a little sign says what it is, and you're supposed to bring this thing home from school and grow. It's something supposed to grow in this thing. You're maybe supposed to take a notes and, you know, track its progress. If you were to take that little styrofoam cup of dirt and stash it in an old dark cupboard somewhere, high probability of nothing happening, right? It's just not, but we don't do that. We take it home, we put it usually like right above the kitchen sink. It's sort of where it goes, right? On the sunlit windowsill spot where the sun is coming in, where this has the best chance to grow. And this is what silence does for us. It's the sunlit windowsill where faith grows. Practicing silence breaks our addiction to control and trying to fix things ourselves because it forces us to put our lives in God's hands, where true peace is found. And here's a bonus. You might even hear something from God when you take time to listen. The Bible describes God speaking to his people in all sorts of ways in times of silent stillness. And it may not be an audible voice calling your name like in 1 Samuel 3 or speaking through a burning bush like in Exodus 3. It might be more like an inner nudge, you know, maybe like the sound of sheer silence with Elijah. Or it might be a vision you might get in your mind, a picture like in Daniel's life or in Cornelius or Peter or Paul or John. And what Elijah heard when he walked out into that eerie silence was a question. God said, "What are you doing here?" God, of course, knew what he was doing, but Elijah didn't really know. Sometimes God's voice will prompt us with a convicting question. You know, a question that God knows the answer to, but one we're still wrestling with. You know, maybe a question like, is this really where you want to be? Or is this all there is to life? With Elijah, Samuel, others, you and I, God's voice ultimately leads us with encouragement and directs us in our lives. And just like physical exercise takes practice, you know, I just want to encourage you to start slow. You know, you can work up to longer lengths of time. In this season of Lent, you might want to say, I want to try 2 minutes a day. I'm just going to practice two. I'll set a timer on my phone, 2 minutes a day. I'll put your phone on silent. But 2 minutes a day, I'm just going to practice, you know, silence. Maybe a minute. Maybe try 30 seconds and kind of work up slow. Don't beat yourself up if you get distracted. It's totally natural. Just call yourself back to your original intention, which was, you know, God, I just want to be quiet with you. Just want to connect with you in silence and listen in case God might want to say something. You might want to begin with a short prayer like, God, here I am to spend time with you. Or like Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And when the distractions come, the laundry list of items on your task list or the impending worries of doom that flood your mind, just set them aside. I know that sounds easier said than done. Some experts in this practice have said, imagine little boats floating by on the horizon, little boats as you're in this quiet time. And as you get these worries and these things come in, just put them in the boat, you know, and let it go on by. You know, you get another one? Put it in the boat. Let it go, just put it in the boat, you know. You might have like a giant tanker going by now, just sinking in the water. But either way, it's just a little practice. It's just like, okay, Lord, for another, that's an okay for another time. I just want to be with you, Lord. I just want to be quiet with you. You know, God has spoken to me in a particular interesting way historically, and I want to share it with you guys. I don't always lead with this story. It's not something I always kind of like broadcast, but it's kind of interesting. It might be unique enough to inspire you in your journey too. When I get those times alone with God in silence and solitude, it's interesting. He usually gives me like a one or two word text picture. Like I see this, it's almost like a vision and a word in one. It's like a word just kind of floats up into my mind. All caps, and it just kind of floats on in, these like thick letters. It's so weird. I know as a high schooler, I was wrestling with joy, and the first time it happened, and I was at the beach, and I was talking to God, and I was in silence. I was like, where's this joy thing, you know? And I grew up in Northern California in the foggy redwood forest where there's no sun. And so I was a melancholy, you know, teen, and I'm like, where's joy? And I should have thought, it's in Southern California where it's sunny, you know? But I was like, Lord, I need, you know, help. And I got this image. It came into my mind. Trust equals joy. Like it just floated in like this equation. Trust equals joy out of nowhere. And it was so cool. I began to wrestle with that for those weeks and months after. Trust. So the degree that I trust you, Lord, is the degree I can experience joy in my life. It was this really interesting push-pull that grew my faith. My senior year in college, I was going to start out on this brand new music ministry, and none of my friends were doing that. Most people were getting normal jobs, but I was going to try this adventurous music ministry, and I hoped I had all the equipment I needed and the training I needed, but I wasn't sure, and I was going to get married a week after I graduated and didn't have a place to live, and there's a lot of uncertainty. And I remember praying, Lord, should I do this? I mean, I have a lot of confirmations in all the other areas of my life that I should do this. I feel like I should do this. Lord, is there anything you want to say to me? And it was crazy. I felt like I got these letters, D-O, do. Just do it, you know? And it was like, God was like, you do. You're equipped. Go do it. You know, just stop talking and just go do it. And it was amazing. And I was so encouraged by that. And we launched out on this ministry 10 years later. I had recorded all these albums, traveled the world, and I was walking again on the beach, one of my favorite spots to talk with God, and I was just saying, Lord, what's next? Is there another rung in the ladder? What should I do next? And it was so clear. I felt like these letters, again, came up, B-E-B, just be, you know, kind of a season of contentment. I don't need to strive. I don't need to struggle for the next thing. Just rest with God. Just be with God and grow my inner life with him and not be striving and all these external things. It was so freeing. I felt so comforted by God that he was with me. You know, in fact, when I was about ready to graduate from seminary, also pivotal time in my life, I was praying about this opportunity to go to Richmond, Virginia, and leave my beloved California friends and family and my whole life I'd had here go on this pastoral adventure on the East Coast. And I was like, what should I do, Lord? And I was wrestling with it. And a lot of doors were closing around me. And God was opening all these other interesting doors in Richmond. And I want to say that these words that came to me in these times of prayer, they weren't sort of isolated out of the blue. They were really informed by lots of other sort of aspects of my life. So that's one thing to keep in mind. It was like God was just sort of putting a cherry on the top of a direction that he sort of built in my life. But this was one of those times, and I was like, Lord, what should I do? I'm super scared. I don't know, should I really do this? And this was the one time I said, God, you've spoken to me in these two-letter things before. It's kind of weird. But God, do you have a word like that maybe for me? And I was just quiet. And all of a sudden, seriously, before I could even think, it was like, G-O, go. You know, like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to go, you know. And it was crazy. And we did. We packed up and we followed the Lord's leading to Richmond. And that when that season was ending, and 2.5 years later, I was wrestling again. Lord, what's next? Considering what's next. And again, I felt like God said, see, just see, keep your eyes open, look for what I might want to do in your life. Don't have a narrow view of what's next, have a wide open view. So that's what I did. I opened my eyes wide, I looked under every rock, and then God began to kind of develop things here at this church and this opening here to interview here and come here. And now that my office is, I think it's like 28 palm trees from the Pacific Ocean, I'm wondering if it might have been C, like S-E-A, you know? I mean, it's a mystery, right? It's a mystery how God works. But these were all encouragements to me. They were all direction cues for my life, and each one built my trust, and it grew my faith. And it bolstered my confidence for that next season ahead. In fact, I wrote a song years ago about the power of listening to God, and I wanted to just share the lyrics with you guys this morning. It goes like this. I didn't know you talk in a whisper. I was looking for lightning across the sky. You didn't call my name in the thunder, and I wondered why even try. I figured it was too hard to reach you, like a river too deep to cross. So I set out to find my own way, and I got good and lost. And I was standing alone at a crossroad, looking for some kind of change. I was watching life pass right by me like a bullet train. And I got caught in the rumble of my own noise. I could conjure up just enough to drown out your still small voice. But I'm listening now. I'm hearing the sound, and I'm feeling you all around me. In the rhythm of the rain, in the passing of pain, in the freedom I feel, I know you're here. The touch of wind on my face, every breath that I take, even the simplest things are coming through loud and clear, and I'm listening now. You know, as our pastor of worship, I hope to help us practice silence more in these coming weeks of Lent. Because silence not only grows our faith and helps us listen to God, but lastly, I want to propose this kind of radical idea that silence can also be a source of strength. Not just a passive retreat, but an actual forward motion in our lives. You know, the Desert Fathers, who we have a little bit of a history with in our large church context, they led this movement out to the desert to live in caves and to be silent and live in solitude. And many of their life and work has impacted the way we see spirituality today. One of these early fathers said this, "Any trial, whatever that comes to you, can be conquered by silence." I mean, I think that's interesting that silence could be this action, a way to face trials and wrestle, really, with challenges in our life. In fact, one last verse this morning, you know, it's from Exodus. God's people, they were facing one of the biggest challenges of their entire life at that point, one of their greatest fears. In Exodus 14, the bloodthirsty Egyptian army charging toward them, their backs against the Red Sea with nowhere to go, right? They're right between a rock and a hard place. They're at the end of their rope. And in Exodus, I want to read you guys this short little speech that Moses gives to his people. Exodus 14 and 13. Moses said to the people, this is what he says, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." And of course, we know the rest of the story. God did work his salvation that day, the parting of the Red Sea, the Israelites walk through it, and then the sea collapses again and drowns the entire Egyptian army. And moments later, "The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." What a challenge. As we close our time in reflection, before singing a final song, I want you to consider these questions, you know, as we reflect. And maybe on your little Lent hallelujah card, you might want to write your Lenten prayer, something you desire, your intention in these next 6 weeks with the Lord. And as we drop them in these baskets, as Kurt directs us in the team in a moment. But here's some questions to consider too. Who are the Egyptians that you see in your life today? What has your back against the wall right now, this moment? What would it look like for you to put your life into God's hands, to surrender control, to give up fixing things yourself with your own strength and words and noise and effort? How might you practice silence in a new way this season? I want to invite you just to bring that to the Lord. Let's close our time with a minute of silence now. Let's practice it together, a minute of silence to bring your situation to God. Bring him your anxiety, your doubt, your fear. Bring it all to him. And in silence, let's let him fight for us. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent.